Now, you, being in Seoul, when you take that other individual into your consciousness, you become, for a moment, connected. So that your soul becomes the pipeline to their soul. The one soul now is activated and reaches down and lifts up into itself the one which is separated. Their inactive soul becomes active through your awareness of oneness. And the complete pipeline of soul is the resurrection from the problem. Always, it is the one soul. Your soul, aware that it is the one soul, which acts as the healing, the restorative power. Now this soul power becomes no power, because it isn't a power at all. It's the fact of life. And so when we are learning about no power, we're really learning that soul is always functioning. The power of soul is not turned on and off. When a person is withering, the power of their soul is just as strong as they're not connected to it. The graven image is never connected to the soul. And so the soul is pouring its life and expressing in its invisible manifestation, but the graven visible image doesn't benefit. When we come to the healing consciousness, you'll find that without conscious soul awareness, you not only have no healing consciousness, but you are completely separated from that power which can manifest divinity. And so we are aware now that all of the healings in the Bible would have been impossible if the soul were not in total function at all times, but that the graven image, the mind of man, which is the false power of the graven image, is unaware of the presence of the soul. And so that mind deposits the form into its native nothingness, while the soul which lives and expresses the infinite nature of God is available, working, but ignored by mankind. Now we are going to see within our world and within our time a revival of soul consciousness. And this group soul consciousness is going to do not only what the soul consciousness of Jesus did for the one girl in a coma and the one boy in a coffin and Lazarus in a tomb. It's going to do for this world a complete redemption. It's going to dissolve much of what we have taken for granted as a necessary evil. It's going to prove to us that there's no reason for starvation. It's going to feed multitudes. It's going to show us that peace is right there, but only in soul awareness. And the boy who was sent off to war will be protected in peace through soul awareness. We are going to see the activity of soul in our own personal experience and then in the group experience. And it is going to multiply very swiftly, because the fear that prevents us from living in soul, the ignorance, quickly changes when there are a number of enlightened souls present, functioning, living in soul, demonstrating the present capacity of soul. You've noticed it in your own life. When you have attained the awareness of soul, something changed. Suddenly you felt good again. Something you lacked appeared. Some difficult assignment you had was suddenly made simple. If you were a composer and you reached through soul into another area of consciousness, you pulled out something that became more or less permanent, not just a fashionable thing of the moment. And people looked at it, and they didn't know why, but they knew there was something special there. If you were a painter and reached into soul, you found another level of expression. Whatever endeavor we are in, when we break through into the soul realm, a new dimension is added to that endeavor, and people look at it and can't figure out why it is so pleasing. There is music in the world today that will never die. And the reason is because it is not music of this sphere. It is music truly brought forth by the soul from an invisible sphere. And when we hear that music, something happens to us. We marvel at it. We say, this man was a genius. What we do not realize is that he has reached through soul into the music of the spheres. We reach through soul into new harmonies, new combinations. We find the celestial keyboard and the celestial palette. Always, through soul, you find a new level of life. You find that harmony has an invisible power built into it. It's as if the harmony refuses to let discord enter. And again, that is the soul of harmony, the soul of peace, the soul of fulfillment. The new dimension of soul changes everything. When you hear the words, "Behold, I make all things new," I does. But only through the soul. Always, the magic alchemist is I functioning through the alerted, awakened, illumined soul. The animal and the human are different. Mind makes them different. The mind of man is higher than the mind of the animal. And in the same way, soul makes one different than one who lives in mind. Soul is the illuminated mind. Mind without soul is never illuminated. It lives in the darkness. And so if we're going to move from animal to human, to angel, to spirit, to Christ, you won't do it till you develop the yearning to live in your soul faculty. Angels live in their souls. They have no human minds, of course. But you don't just live in your soul in the next experience, you live in it now. And this is where religion has missed the boat. You live in it now. Now, there's no need to go into the kinds of miracles that happen when you do, because we don't want to prescribe or outline what we would like soul to do. But always, when you live in soul, the miracles that flow are beyond all mental capacity to act as a cause or an instrument for them. They simply flow from your own infinite being through soul as a normal procedure. You simply gasp with amazement and joy as you watch them flow. Now, you can catch yourself when you're letting your mind gallop away with you, because all it's doing is robbing you of your birthright. Your soul produces the total keyboard of God in this realm. It plays every note, and its harmonies are beyond human comprehension. We cannot begin to trace the celestial harmonies that flow through the soul in combining invisible activities into one flowing stream of perfection. Now let's suppose you're driving down the road. There's no one in your car. Sky is blue. There are mountains. And as you drive, you find somehow you're not really in thought at all. Rather, you're in a sort of a no-thought experience. And when this happens to you, all of a sudden you realize that you're in a state of peace. You're in a state of awareness, and more important than all, you're in a state of receptivity. You're really a channel at that moment for the infinite. And when this happens, you've been in a soul experience, not a mind experience. But it isn't enough. You can't get into a car every day and just have it happen then. Or you can't sit under the stars and wait for it to happen only then. You have to live in that soul as a conscious daily activity. And so there are some exercises for it. And one of them is to let your thoughts run through your mind with no particular effort on your part to destroy them or control them or to direct them. Just let them flow through your mind. Let them think anything they want to think. Let your mind just do its thing. But you do not respond. You just watch your thoughts. Watch them. You'll find that where a mind has to have its fling for maybe 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and all these random, chaotic, meaningless thoughts just go through. It's sort of like a July 4th fire, one of those little things you wave and all the sparks go out, one of those sparklers. These thoughts just sparkle across your brain without any particular pattern. But ultimately, the sparks go away. You've given them their head. You haven't fought them. And maybe some images begin to appear on your mind. Maybe you think of your dog or your child or your sister's uncle, anything. Whatever comes across the screen of the brain, let it come. Until you can feel that the power of world thought is just playing itself out. Until it almost diminishes into nothingness, and all that's left is a mind without thought. this cleansing of the mind thought without pressure or effort or willpower, just watching thought die of its own accord, brings you to a point which is the beginning of something else. You might say we're at the point of beginning the state of no thought. Now you place into that mind a certain thought that you wish to place there. And into that mind, the thought you place there is pure divine truth. Place it consciously there. I am living now in the kingdom of God. I know that because I know God is here. And where God is, the kingdom is. If I were not in the kingdom of God, then God would not be here. But God is here. I accept this, and I accept, therefore, that I am in the kingdom of God here. And this is the thought I am planting in the mind which has already dropped all other thoughts. Beside the kingdom of God, nothing else is here. That is all that is here. Now go no further at this point. Only the kingdom of God is here. And don't let your mind stray from that thought. When that car went by, were you able to know that it wasn't going by? There's no automobiles in the kingdom of God. If a dog were to bark, would you know that it isn't here? I am in the kingdom of God, and only the kingdom of God is here. Now start making a list of the things that are not here. Begin with your human self. Begin with your environment. Begin with everything you can think of that would come through the hearing, the seeing, the touching, the smelling, or the tasting. Rule out all sense evidence as being impossible to be here in the kingdom of God. What's here? And as you dwell there, when you know that only Spirit is here, that knowledge will come only from your soul. And that is how you will know you are in soul consciousness. Your soul knows that only Spirit is here. you'll find this exercise, as you rest in it for a few more minutes, will take you into the soul experience. But I'd like you to have several more. I'd like you to see that every incarnation you have lived in has only given you a glimpse from time to time of your soul, and that the incarnations existed only because of the absence of soul consciousness. And now I want you to go into a future incarnation. This is a different meditation now. The other is over. We didn't go all the way with it because of the time element. We are now going into our second exercise on soul consciousness. You can, of course, spend more time with them at your leisure. We're going into a future incarnation. A make-believe one, I hope. We're going into the year 2200. As you do that with your mind, you find that you cannot carry your form with you. You know this form won't be here in the year 2200. You know that no one in this room will be in this particular type of visibility in the year 2200. And so you're going into something where you cannot visualize accurately. And so you make no visualization at all. You're just in the year 2200. 300 years or 200 and some odd years of human time has just gone by. Now, go back those same number of years before this incarnation. So that you're roughly in the year, say, 1700. And when you can have a feeling that there was a time when you were in the year 1700 and make it a now time, from that point, project into 1976. From 1700, imagine that you are in the year 1976. It would have seemed very silly in 1700, wouldn't it? But here you are. It seems perhaps just as silly to imagine it in 2200, but someday, unless you step out of this flow of time, that's what will be. Now suppose instead of 2200 above, or 1700 below, or 1976, suppose you just say, I am not in the flow of time. But rather, I exist simultaneously now in all three times. I exist in 1700 as soul, as the Spirit of God. I exist in 2200 now as soul, the Spirit of God, and in 1976. There's no distinction. I exist from 1700 to 2200, the full length of the way, and with no change in my soul. My soul spans all that time just as quickly as a second would pass in this world. I'm in all of it. I am now in. 5,000 years. Now wait till you get a feeling of that. Wait till your soul says that's true. If you remove the person, you will find that it is not difficult for the soul to agree that you are now occupying all 5,000 years. When you have an awareness that this is true, you will find you are in soul activity. That will be a sign to you that you have found a soul realm. The mind cannot envision it. The mind cannot comprehend it or encircle it. The soul already is in the truth of it before you even began the exercise. You can do this exercise with time until your soul knows that all time, millions of years of time, are all but a fleeting second in the fullness of your soul now. Until you realize that your soul is eternity itself. You have a soul that is eternal. All time that will ever be is already included in your present soul. And so whether it's 2 o'clock in the year 2200 or 4 o'clock in the year 1976 or 8 o'clock in the year 1700, all this is already in your soul. And the times and the years are but mirages of the mind. And I'd like you to hear this particular exercise, which will do something more quickly for you. Just take today's date. I think it's August 10th. Ask yourself if God is only living on August 10th. Sounds ridiculous. Imagine confining God to August 10th. But you're only living on August 10th. You're not living now in August 11th. And you're not living in August 9th. And because you're not, somehow in some way we can find God into the period in which we're living. We can find spirit into this little segment. And now in this exercise, realize the stupidity of the assumption that we make without even thinking about it. The silent assumption that God is now in this momentary day. And realize that God is in all. And therefore, I am in every day which God is in now. This truth is easy to feel. And when you feel it, you're in your soul. Now these are just little springboards to start you in your soul. take this third one we just did. I find it works rather quickly, and I'm in a state of no human thought. Human thought, for some reason, just seems absurd. And now, when you're in this realm of no thought, which is the soul realm, you're ready to really begin another type of exercise. That's all you've done, is to clean the blackboard. You're getting to the soul realm, but that's the beginning of living. Now, if we're in the soul realm, having clarified all thought from our being, and we're just in this beautiful purity of no thought, now we consciously let soul bring us its thought, and we can feel the difference. It will bring us no thought of this world. You can feel thought saying, this is a divine experience. Whatever appears will be a divine expression. Soul will be expressing the purity of God in all things that appear in the visible, manifested world. It becomes a soul day, not a mind day. It becomes a soul life, not a mind life. It all flows out of the infinite invisible. You are consciously learning to differentiate between mind thought and soul thought. Because when the temple has been cleared, when mind thought enters, it is quickly recognized as an intruder. And so the world mind, the father of lies, the father of this world, finds no place in your thought. The moment it rears its ugly head, you see it. It can't enter your soul thought. And though it may knock at the door, it's instantly recognized. And the door is shut. Now do you see that if you permit no human thought, no world thought, no mind thought, even though there's no particular divine thought that you're aware of, you are not being polluted. And that pollution cannot express in your life. Now suppose while you were in this state, something that had been troubling you tried to enter. You would know human will is trying to enter. Suppose some difficult decision about what you wanted to do in this world was coming into this. You would say, no, I don't want any mind thought. That's no way to solve it. Just keep it out. We don't have to solve it mentally. Just keep it out. Don't solve it. Keep this temple pure of world thought. And the solution will take care of itself. The body will take care of itself. The business will take care of itself. All of the world things will take care of themselves if you just keep the thought divine, pure, soul, not mind. All the other things will just find their proper place. You are starving the world mind. It is almost as if you were unable to think humanly. It just has no point, no reason to be. There's nothing worth thinking about. Just to rest in the glory of no thought. And if you could see the invisible mechanism that is at work when you do this, you would know that all divinity is blessing you in every way. For it's like the tree in the winter. Your soul is invisibly magnifying the Lord, gathering together in the invisible all that is necessary for your experience, because it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And then in the spring, all that you have gathered in the soul through the winter comes forth in full bloom. That's what nature does every day in her duplication of the soul process of gathering together the ingredients of a perfect life. While you are in this state, and as you perpetuate it in your daily life, it's as if an extract, which the Bible calls oil, O-I-L, the oil of your soul, the extract of this soul activity is forming the foundation of your life in the next world. This essence, this extract, is the result of every moment of no human thought. It is the invisible food, the spiritual nutriment that feeds you just as if you were a child in the womb, being fed by your mother's body. Your silence in the soul is the manner in which you are fed. No one can see it, not even yourself. You are fed divine nourishment this way. Until the fullness of the Father individualizes through your silence as your very divine being. Now this is definitely soul activity, not a soul that leaves your body when you die and travels somewhere, but a soul that works here and now in the kingdom of God as you walk in the visible world. Your soul working here and now in the kingdom of God is your secret weapon. I have seen it change things that cannot be changed any other way. And you have. Only you perhaps didn't realize at the time that you were witnessing the magic of your soul or of somebody else's soul activity. This soul activity can remove pollution from the earth, turn tornadoes, turn hurricanes, stop the flood, make the fire move around the house instead of through it. It does things that nothing else can do, because it controls the imagery that comes forth, whereas the mind is putting forth the imagery of good and bad. The soul puts forth divine imagery, which must be harmonious. And that's its key. It makes harmonious images. You control the images in your life through the soul. Now, we call it no power. You can call it soul power. But the reason we call it no power is because the soul power is the only power there is. And in your separation from it, you live in false power, which paints the mirage, which we think is a real thing. If you can purify yourself of world thought, mind thought, build the capacity of no thought, soul power, which is present, will enforce its perfection. Spirit of the Father will move across the face of the earth, expressing through your soul the harmony of divine life. Sometimes we can maintain this for long periods of time, sometimes just for 2 or 3 minutes. Sometimes we can wake up in the middle of the night and find we're in it. And sometimes if before going to bed you go into this state of no thought, you'll find that instead of a dream, you will have a soul experience, and you'll know the difference. Always then, we are on the alert to invite the soul experience instead of the mind experience. It's as if we were saying, "Thank you, Father, for the soul that you have planted in the midst of me, and I will not let it lie idle. I will not ignore it. I will live in it, for it is the instrument you have placed here to express your will in me." Your soul expresses divine will. Your mind expresses human will. Your soul is one with infinity. Your mind will always be in the finite state. Your soul has no ending. Your mind must always end. Your soul does not deal with transitory things, but with the permanent. Your mind never deals with the permanent, but only the transitory. Mind consciousness is human consciousness. Soul consciousness is divine consciousness. It is the bridge to divinity. And unless you are consciously working on soul consciousness, when you come to any experience in this world, you'll be walking on the wrong level of being. Up to now, then, the Bible has been telling you to develop this soul consciousness. It has other plans when you have developed it. Because then number 10, the soul, will marry number 11, the spirit. When you have developed your soul consciousness, you have found your mother. And your mother will marry spirit, your father. And this, in this return to our pre-existent state as true Christ, your soul, your mother, marries spirit, your father. And in the union, you are reborn. 10 marries 11, and 12 is born. Now that's what the Bible's trying to get us to do. That's what it's all about. And the next step is you, your soul consciousness. You must learn the difference between it and mental consciousness. And you do it by practice. These brief exercises, of course, are just momentary samples. I know that I have to be practicing many, many different kinds of ways to step into soul awareness, and then ways to stay in soul awareness, ways to look at the mind which wants to jump back into the throne of my life and not respond to it. And so you develop all kinds of personal ways to do this, ways that only you know about. And you work at this until you are no longer a victim of human thought, of mind thought, of world thought, but are insulated by living in the soul which knows only soul thought. And that is where you will hear your master's voice.